And they're like, oh, so you love snorkeling. I was like, oh, no, wait. I would go snorkeling if I was in Hawaii.
I've been snorkeling.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not like a snorkeler. I am not pursuing snorkeling on a regular basis. Please, please remove that. Like, welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Right, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Rourke. Rourke, how is it going this morning?
It's good. I had like my first late night at the office. I've obtained the keys to my new apartment.
Amazing.
Yes, but I'm now in the overlap period, and so my home is in shambles because things are sort of like stacked around. I have a couple boxes going. I'm trying to figure out strategically like what I pack first. I think kitchen makes most sense because I'm not cooking right now. Anyway, I was also people on Patreon, and I've been a little resistant to this because it feels like a little, I don't want to call it invasive because that's a meaner word than I intend, but it feels personal, maybe I'll say. People have been asking us to do like apartment tours.
Yeah. I also get that every time I do an Ask Me Anything. And I've done them on lives before.
Oh, okay. Cause I was thinking of like at least like photographing or documenting my move. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. You should.
So last night I just like stayed at the office. I think I left the office at 11:30 because my home is just not like a pleasant place to like be or work right now.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that was fun. I was like, it was like a little ghost town. But yeah, so to that point of like late office nights, my Memorial Day weekend, I pretty much had no plans. My friends and I often have bigger plans, but we did not this year. And my big plan was like my date with myself to sleep.
Ugh, amazing.
Friday into Saturday, I slept for 12 hours. And I think that we all know what that means, that I obviously used my Sunset Lake CBD products to make it like peak sleep.
Yeah.
Because I'm also, as you know, like I'm really not a big sleeper anyway. And so I like really wanted to set myself up to fall asleep early and stay asleep a little bit later than I normally would. I literally slept 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. It was absolutely blissful. And
amazing.
I felt so good. And like, I love being able to use my sleep drops in that situation because it just like, I never wake up groggy from it. I'm still always ready to like start the day, but it just helps have that sleep be super solid.
Yeah, that's the thing that I like about it the most too, is that like the grogginess. Like I always get groggy from melatonin when I've taken it. And I don't actually even get groggy from their drops that have melatonin. I don't know if it's something about the way the melatonin like interacts with the CBD, or maybe it's just like less melatonin because it also has CBD. That's probably – maybe that's what it is. I don't know. We can ask them. But the times that I've used that, I haven't felt that like melatonin hangover that I usually get. I'm almost out of myself.
Oh my God. That's great. I mean, great, but
it's great. I love it. I was at, you know, we'll talk about this, but I was at Volleyball Nationals for 4 days this past weekend. And it is a 3-day volleyball tournament. My muscles are very angry.
Yeah.
And so that it's just has been a big savior. And this is a testament to both the salve and the fact that I'm doing a better job of taking care of myself. But my back feels so good. And I just like – I want to knock on all of the wood that is available to me. But like part of it is that I've been using the Sunset Lake CBD salve, and it's been like loosening it up and so that it never really gets tight in the first place.
I mean, that's amazing. And so if anybody hasn't heard us talk about Sunset Lake CBD yet, it's a hemp farm located just outside of Burlington, Vermont. And for years, they were a dairy farm producing milk for Ben & Jerry's ice cream, but then diversified in 2019 to start growing hemp for CBD. And we are eternally grateful. They believe Indeed. That their farm-to-table approach is the best way to get responsibly produced, high-quality CBD products that actually work. And that includes reliable third-party testing. And so as you have heard Allie and I talk about, they have a variety of products that can help with stress, sleep, aches and pains. We're all getting old.
All of it. Yeah, we are.
My mom actually just texted me that she's ordering the CBD gummies.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear what she thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they ship directly from their farm to your door. Like Rourke said, they have tinctures, salves, gummies. They have fudge. You tried the fudge. You said it was amazing.
It's very delicious. I had to ration myself.
I was drinking the coffee. I loved the coffee. I want to get more coffee.
I was jealous that you got coffee.
Yeah. I don't think they have it all the time because it's like just whenever they've roasted.
It's like a bespoke vibe.
Yeah.
It makes me want it more. Thanks.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because they had it when they sent me my stuff.
Elite product.
They also, they posted a story on Instagram last night that was like a sea of the little pots of salve. It was a very cool video. They like started zoomed in really close on one and then zoomed out to like hundreds of pots of salve. I really appreciated it. It was very soothing. So check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com. You can use coupon code FMH2020 for 20% off all of their products. Sunset Lake CBD, they are farmer owned, Vermont grown, and we love them.
Love it. But yeah. So, okay. Some minor dating updates.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Stefan.
Oh, great.
That's his nickname now. We did not officially decide.
Yes, I asked you how it was. You didn't reply.
Oh, maybe I wanted to surprise you.
How was it?
It was fun. So I said to a friend that he's absolutely not husband material. Like, he is not.
Okay. What does he not – like, tell me more about that.
Like, he's just, like, a weirdo. And, like, I think that – and I have a theory that people like me think people like him are entertaining, and people like him think people like me are entertaining because we're very different.
Interesting. So it's like, oh, this is an entertaining thing to experience, but not something that I want for the long term.
Yes. Like, like for me, he's like, oh, how quirky. She like has a very like real tangible job and is like stable and like and has a routine. And yeah. I'm like, oh, how funny. He like has this random, very unroutine life. All these like random friends that do there's an intersection there for me personally. Okay. And I was saying to my – so my friends and I did do like a little park grill out on Sunday of last weekend. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Anna about it and I was saying like right now I feel like I am – to me there is no like – I don't quite know what the middle ground is, but I know in my gut there is a middle ground. I am either looking at you, dating you because I think you could be my husband, or – you're a freak and we're like, this isn't going anywhere, but like, you might be fun.
That's like Tinks's box theory.
Oh, great. Love that. I always thought her box theory was like friends versus lovers.
No, it's like either when a guy meets you, and I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm just going to regurgitate what it is. It is when a guy meets you, he either puts you in a, or it's not either. There's three boxes in a like, I want a relationship with this person. I want to have sex with this person, or I want nothing to do with this person.
Got it.
And I think friends might go in that third box. She's talked more about how friends kind of work, but like,
okay,
not that your boxes are the same, but it just reminds me of like,
yes. Yeah. Well, no, it is. Here it or is. Here. I'm fully cabining people right now. Like there is no like, oh, well like this could be something like he's a no. No, we're either – I'm either all in or all out right now. I am like – I'm also going to monitor when my various paid – when my premium runs out on Bumble because I'm gonna cancel.
I just canceled.
Oh, my God. Really?
Both.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hold.
Breaking news.
We're
sorry.
Back pocketing that. Yeah. Saw Stefan. It was fun. He's fun. He's not a relationship man. He's a freak. And it's great. Like, it's like a funny hang. And he Like, I like that. So I like having people like that around, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, it also kind of moderates my behavior with other people, where I just, like, there's nothing that's, like, better, I think, for potentially, like, developing somebody you like than having somebody you don't care about in your life. And not that I don't care, but, like, I don't care.
What is his take on the situation? Do you know?
I would be – like, he can't possibly view me as somebody that he's, like, seriously, like, considering.
Why?
Like, that would be wild.
But he's wild.
Fair enough. I mean, I think that – like, we don't – I mean, we certainly – we don't text during the week. He called me on Saturday of last week and said, like, hey – do you want to, like, meet up tonight?
Yeah. Oh, and, so it was, like, a last-minute thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the way that the first time you met up with him was as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's very just all over the place.
Yeah. And I was, like, you know, I am free. And so I was, like, yeah, like, I'm free, but I kind of told myself I needed to pack. Let me see how the afternoon goes.
Yeah.
And then he ended up, like, calling me back or – This might have been on the first call. He was like, okay, well, like, he goes, yeah, it's like an unstructured hang. Like, I don't really have a plan. You definitely – and he goes, you definitely, like, deserve more than this, like, unstructured ask. But, like, I just wanted to call and see if you were free.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was like, okay, you can't make up for it by just calling out what you just did. And so I literally go, wow, it's a wonder you're single. And he thought that was funny. But anyway, that's what I mean also by not caring. Like, I like a situation because it reminds me that, like, I can be myself and it won't go wrong necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, when there's no stakes, like, yeah. Which in reality, there are never any stakes.
Exactly. This is but what
we
I'm
put
saying.
We put stakes onto ourselves by, exactly. by saying, like, this is important. And if it goes wrong, then it's terrible.
Yes. And so we just went out to, like, a bar on Saturday night and had a nice chat. And then we texted a little bit on Sunday, and then we have not spoken since, but I would not be surprised if he, like, calls out.
Calls you again. Yeah.
And so, whatever. I'll evaluate that when it comes my way. I'm not initiating anything.
Yeah.
And then I have a matchmaker date.
Exciting. So did you ever get a picture of this person, or is it fully blind?
Okay. It is visually blind. I got a description last night.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Which, can I read it?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Because I think it's, like, absolutely hilarious. And I wonder if, like, I would like to hear, because I've seen the emails from your matchmaker. Uh-huh. I would like to, but I'm kind of blanking on the tone. The way that they talk is so crazy, where I'm sure this man is normal, but he sounds crazy. Like,
after this, I'll read you the one. I'm going to talk about a matchmaker date, so I can read the email from that one. I'll find it.
Okay. A 6-foot ambitious former attorney turned successful business owner. Red flag immediately, but whatever.
Why? Wait, why is that a red flag?
I don't, like, love an entrepreneur.
Oh.
Which is weird because, like, my dad, like, left corporate America to, like, start his own tiny business. So, but anyway.
Okay.
We'll see. He loves keeping fit and active with gym sessions, hiking with his beloved dog, running, yoga, and his newest venture, a Peloton. Why are you so late on the Peloton train? I'm being such a bitch. This man sounds great.
You are. You're being so mean.
This is terrible. Okay. This creative and curious man keeps a healthy and calm mind through meditation, long scenic walks, and immersing himself in home renovation and design. How does he have so much time? A world traveler. He's not too sleepy. This man is not sleepy.
Not sleepy at all.
A world traveler. He has a passion for exploring new cultures and traveling overseas. Greece and London are two of his favorites. Okay, I can get behind that. With a heart for community service, he is thoughtful and volunteers at local libraries and donates to several charities. He has a passion for creative writing and has, in fact, written a novel. Ooh. A lover of the art.
Rourke.
Fine. I don't know. This is a lot of hobbies. Okay. A lover of the arts. He can be found visiting art galleries, museums, and comedy clubs. And he equally enjoys casual takeouts with friends, beach days, and family time, which are precious to him. He's kind, intellectual, and affectionate with a true sense of fun. So sounds great. I'm being an asshole. It's fine.
You are. You're being such an asshole.
I'm like, trying to. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the language is very flowery. I will read you – when we talk about my matchmaker date, I will read you my matchmaker email. Hers is not like that. Like, I bet you this guy would be mortified if he read that description of himself.
I think so too.
But I also think that, like, yes, that sounds like a lot of hobbies. I imagine, though, they talk to these people at length, right?
Yes.
Like, it's a long conversation. They probably ask them so many questions of, like, do you ever do community service? Do you like to travel? Do you, and
100%.
This guy could have volunteered at a library once 2 years ago and mentioned 100%. It. Not that he's lying about it, but I'm just saying, like,
totally. Because that's how they – when they interviewed me and then, like, reflected back some of the stuff, I was like, whoa, dial that back. Like, where they're like, oh, would you do this? Do you like this? Whatever. And the one that sticks in my memory was snorkeling. And they're like, oh, so you love snorkeling. I was like, oh, no, wait. I would go snorkeling if I was in Hawaii. And
I've been snorkeling.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not like a snorkeler. I am not pursuing snorkeling on a regular basis. Please remove that. Like, I'm down to try activities. That's the overarching thing here.
Your bio that they're sending to these matches includes snorkeling.
Yeah, she's like an avid snorkeler. No, fuck.
I don't know what I would think if I saw that someone is an avid snorkeler. That's such a weird, like, such a loser. Weird thing. Such a weird thing. Like, just go scuba diving, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Oh, that scares me, though.
No, same, but, like, to be an avid snorkeler.
Yeah, it's like you're too weak for scuba. And
yes,
like-
exactly. Like, just don't have an ocean hobby.
Totally. Just, like, lay out. You're good.
Yeah. Anyway, let's stop going in on snorkelers. So I bet that it's just that he, like, mentioned all of these things at some point throughout their conversation. And then, like, it all just got pushed into this small bio. And now he has all these hobbies.
Totally. Completely.
It said he was – he's older. It said he was 40. Did I hear that correctly?
No, there's no age. That is missing.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That's purposeful, I assume.
Yeah, I wonder. But he – so they told me that they would – that, like, they're looking – I believe 32 to 42.
Okay.
So he is at least my age. And this is a decent amount of life experience, I think.
Yeah. I got an older vibe older, from it. Yeah.
Which is fine by me. I date older. But Stefan is 40 now, actually.
Have you read the bio that they send to people about you?
Nope. I have no clue.
I want that bio. I need that bio.
I think when both of our, like, contracts expire, we should ask.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Your matchmaker date. I want a disco ball update. Is Comeback Kid gone back? Gone?
We have lots of updates.
What's happening?
So we'll start with matchmaker date because I can read you my matchmaker email about him. So I went on a matchmaker date this week, two nights ago on Tuesday. What day is it?
Thursday. I'm so off, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday night, I went on a matchmaker date. This is the matchmaker date that I've been talking about for, like, maybe a month. Like, she found him for me, like, at least three weeks ago. It was before I went to Italy. Yeah, pre-Italy. And so she was like, I'm not even going to give him your number yet. Like, going to wait until you're back. Just, like, text me when you're going to be back soon. Mm-hmm. And I can, like, kick things off. So I texted her last week. I said like, hey, I'm about to be back. I can go out next week. As we know, we've updated our strategy so that I tell her when I'm available. She coordinates the date that we're going to go out and then gives the guy my number to text me to actually coordinate said date. So I'd given her days this week. I don't know what possessed me to tell her that I was free on Tuesday when I knew that I was coming back from my 4-day national trip on Monday. It was a bad idea. Luckily my voice survived. It's still a little bit scratchy as people can hear, but last year, as you know, we had to reschedule our podcast recording because I literally couldn't speak.
Yeah.
I remember I sent you a voice memo being like,
we've got a problem. Yeah.
Like, it was just like the occasional squeak. So at least there was that, and I did warn him going in that my voice was, like, extremely squeaky. 2 days ago was way worse. So I went out. I'll read you the email just as a point of reference.
Yeah.
And I do get photos. Different setup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she said, authentic, adventurous, with good values, meet so-and-so. We're calling him the journalist, so I'll call him that throughout the rest of this. He's a self-proclaimed optimist with a great head on his shoulders. Originally from Ohio, which, hilarious, given the aspiring sober vegan conversations. The journalist moved to NYC in 2015 to start a company. She gave me more specifics than that, but unfortunately, the company didn't survive. But since then, he's built a successful career and now works as, insert what he works as. The journalist is a runner and is involved in a running club. He loves the energy of NYC, so you can usually find him out and about soaking up the culture, restaurants, and entertainment. He's atheist, extremely liberal, and is looking for a like-minded partner. He's looking for someone that doesn't take life too seriously and can laugh with him. I got such great vibes from him. I'm so excited about this one. And then she gave me a few stats, like his age, height, a couple other things.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot more normal, I think. Yeah. That, like, her verbiage is just like,
this is who he is.
More conversational. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very funny, the, like, differences.
That sounds like a good match for you, though.
Yeah. And a couple pictures. And so we went out on Tuesday night, and I debriefed with her yesterday, and it was funny because – so she sends a debrief email that has, like, five questions that I'm supposed to, like, think about. Things like, you know, describe the date in two sentences. How are you feeling before the date? How are you feeling on the date? You know, what were your top three things you liked about this date? And do you have any hesitations? How mm-hmm. would it feel to go on a second date with this person, et cetera? I think those are actually exactly all of them. I've done this a couple times now.
Yeah.
And while I was having that conversation, and she sends the same questions to the person for mm-hmm. the match. While we were having the conversation, he emailed her back.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so she read me his email back to her verbatim.
Holy shit. Oh, wow. That's yeah. a lot. Oh, God.
It was exciting.
Yeah.
It was exciting. And also I was like, did you not pre-read this? What if he says something horrific and you're going to read it out loud?
Yeah.
She probably would have like seen that and not said it, but he didn't. So I had a good time. It was very easy to talk to him. His mom passed away 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Which she didn't know. He did not mention it on the call. And so it was just – and I don't actually remember if I've mentioned this, but two of my other matches had lost parents.
Whoa.
Yeah. And she also didn't know about those.
Wow. That's
– yeah.
That's crazy odds.
Yeah. So like she's not matching me purposely with people who have lost parents.
Yeah.
But – and I think – one of the like we've talked about how I like don't want her to bring that up to matches.
Yeah.
And so I think that she's like kind of avoid. She asks them about family, but she doesn't get too deep because she doesn't want the questions coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So like it doesn't matter that I didn't know that in the beginning, obviously. But so that was interesting. And I actually guessed it by the way he was talking about his family.
Mm.
Because I just could see it in other people because I know how I talk about my family. And so in my head, I was like, I think his mom passed away. And then he mentioned it. So really easy to talk to. A little bit nerdier than I usually go out with.
Mm, interesting.
Which is funny because I said that to my –
peaked. I'm like, ooh, tell me that.
I said that to my matchmaker and she was like, I knew you were going to say that.
That's funny.
But like so he's like super goofy, but like it's like in an endearing way. I'm like, I'm intrigued. And he's really into sports. Like our interests are very aligned. And like she said, he's an avid runner. Like he's very active. I am looking forward to going out with him again. We talked about a second date already. Like on the date, we talked about a second date. He actually like asked me if I was free on a particular two nights in person.
Oh, love that.
And but it was when we were saying goodbye, like on a street corner.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I was like, can you text that to me? Because like, I think I am, but I'm not sure. Like, I got
to
look.
Yeah. I would have to be like, let me get my phone out.
Right. But I would have had to get my phone out.
Yeah.
Right. And like, can you just text me about that? And so then we texted a little bit. I texted him when I got home as he asked me to. We went back and forth a little. I haven't heard from him about the actual logistics. However, in his email back to my matchmaker, he said his email was very nice. He had no hesitations. Nice. There was like no negative feedback. It was all super positive.
Aww.
Which was really fun. And then when he said the second date part, he said, yeah, we actually already discussed going on a second date. I need to follow up with her about logistics.
Oh, he fucking gets it. Let's go.
He knows. But like, that was yesterday and I haven't heard from him. So, and one of the days is tomorrow. And that's actually now the only of the 2 days that I'm actually free. Maybe okay. I should text him and tell him that. As I'm saying this out loud, I should probably tell him.
Oh, yeah. If like, if you had offered two options and one disappeared, yeah, you should let him know.
Yeah, because he said Friday or Tuesday, and I've since booked Tuesday. I told him I didn't know. I didn't say I was free either. I told him I wasn't sure.
Got it. Yeah, I would update.
Yeah. So, but I am free tomorrow, so I should probably do that. So that was that. That's the journalist. Disco ball update. Things are wonderful.
Oh, my God. Yay.
Yeah, we've still been talking. I think the last time we recorded, we hadn't had our FaceTime yet.
Correct.
We were going to have the FaceTime. So yep. We FaceTimed last week. It was like about a week ago for over an hour. It was just wonderful. My matchmaker actually – so I tell my matchmaker about my whole dating life. Like she's like mm-hmm. wants to know about, you know, other guys I'm dating and how I'm feeling about them too. She's amazing. I'm like obsessed with her. And she was saying, she was like, wait, so how's DC guy? Like, you know, what's going on with that? And I started talking about him and she goes, your voice is different when you talk about him.
Yeah, I totally agree with her.
And I, as a point of reference, I've known her since August.
Yeah.
So she has heard me talk about everyone, including the rower.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
She has a really
expansive, good, deep, yeah.
Yeah, expansive is a good word. Yeah, expansive point of reference for how I talk about guys I'm dating. Might have even been before August. I definitely went out with the accountant over the summer.
Yeah.
It was like really hot. I remember. So anyway, she was like, your voice is different when you talk about him. Like she asked me another question. She was like, and she said, your voice softens when you talk about him.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. Him listening to this, like throwing up in his mouth. But whatever. I actually don't think he listens anymore. But it's good. So we FaceTime for over an hour. It's the first extended FaceTime he's ever had.
Good for him. Stepped up.
Yeah. Love yeah. That. So his friend was staying with him, actually. His friend stayed with him for like the last 2 weeks. It's the guy who owns the apartment that he lives in. Mm-hmm. Or lived in because he moved out of it yesterday. And so he was like, yeah, like my insert friend's name here is like making dinner for us. I was like, oh, like he's there right now? Like you took this time out while like your friend is there? And like I just like felt good about that.
Yeah, your priority. Like, that's great.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, like this is my first. He's like my first extended FaceTime. Like I don't know where my spot is. He like kept like kind of trying to like move. Light. Yeah, he's like trying to figure out like what's the best way to do this. And so I, when he said that in my head, I was like, okay, after about an hour, I'm going to cut it off.
Okay.
Like I want this to be like an hour is plenty of time for us to catch up and connect. Yeah. And I don't want him to have this feeling in his head that like he needs to cut me off. Like that he is struggling to end things because he doesn't know how to like politely say it's time to go now.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did it for us.
Beautiful. Great call, I think.
Yeah. And I like also wanted like – I didn't want him to like dread future FaceTimes because he's worried that he's not going to be able to get me off the phone.
Yeah. No. Set a good solid precedent the first time. Love it. Killed it.
Yeah. Like this was lovely. Like we should do this again. Whatever. Totally. Which we said. And it was great. It was just like – I continue to be really happy with how easily he and I bop from flirty, fun, silly conversation to like actually really serious topics.
I like that a lot. That like makes a difference.
It really does. Like we went from like – it was a while ago now, so I don't remember what we were joking about because it was like silly and fun and didn't matter. But we went from like hysterically laughing about something so dumb – to like talking about the last time we each cried and like going in depth about that.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I don't even remember how that happened, but it was seamless. Like we were literally, it like made sense to go from that one conversation to the next without it seeming like, so when was the last time you cried? Like it just was like effortless.
Yeah. Cause I think I mentioned before, like the guy that made the pro con list about me that said I was too serious, like all he could not do that. He only wanted to joke. Every time I tried to go there, he would evade. Like, that's not workable. And then you also don't want, like, to be fair, you don't want to be with somebody too serious. Like, I think he was a little over judgmental there. My guy. But yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah, it's lovely. So, and then we've been texting since. Texted all through my nationals trip. Yesterday he asked for a report card of the whole thing. Should I say this for Patreon? I'll say this for Patreon. I'll say the thing I was about to say for Patreon. Long. Yeah, I'll say that for Patreon. So that's the disco ball. Things are great. And I am seeing the comeback kid on Tuesday. That is the thing that I booked Tuesday with.
Oh shit. Wow, he's still around. I thought he might fade away.
I think he might have had I not texted him.
Okay.
So I texted him. So he texted me when I was in Italy. We went back and forth a little bit. I asked just to catch up. I asked if he wanted to hang out when I got back. He was really busy. Then we haven't talked. It's been a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I texted him yesterday just checking in and said I was hoping we could find a time when we're not both running around.
Mm-hmm.
He asked if I'm free Tuesday. So we're going to go out Tuesday.
Great. Perfect.
Yeah. I'm going to bring it up when I see him.
That's fair.
I highly suspect that it has to do with my content.
I would agree. I would bet that he, because knowing how I would behave, I would see, if a person I was dating was putting your content into the world about another person that they were dating, I would pull back and see if they still want, came to me, essentially.
Yeah. I don't know that it's he's not interested now because of that. I don't think that is the case.
I don't think so either.
But I think you're right. I think it's more oh, well, she might not be into this anymore.
Right.
And I don't want to look dumb.
Yeah.
And put myself out there when she's all about this other guy. And I really do want to see him again.
Great. Amazing.
So I'm not all about disco ball. I like him, obviously, we just said. But I also like Comeback Kid. I want to see him again.
You're an open lady. I love it.
Yes. So we will on Tuesday. That's that. Nationals was super fun. Lost my voice. And here we are.
Great. Let's do nationals. And then I definitely have some Patreon only updates.
Yeah. Nationals. I have some Patreon stuff from.
Oh, love it. Well. Yeah. Cause I was going to say, I feel like because we didn't record Patreon, I think that's why we're going so long. Cause we've not caught up.
We haven't caught up. Yeah. I know. You're so right. But yes, we must move along. So funnily enough, I was actually having a lot of conversations this past weekend with my friends about kids and whether we want them. One of the girls on my team.
I was going to say Audrey is a mom.
Yeah. Yeah. So Audrey's a mom, and that sparked a lot of conversations with the group about some people in the group are engaged, married, single. So we were all kind of talking about it, and I was telling them about freezing my eggs, and a couple of them are considering it. And also talking about Modern Fertility, which is one of our podcast sponsors that really helps women understand their fertility in a way that, like we were saying before, I just am so frustrated that understanding your fertility is not part of business as usual checkups.
Yeah. I mean, please, we could spend so much time on women's healthcare. Let's not even – I was like, wow, I was just about to go on a rant. But I am actually – I regularly now drink from my Modern Fertility mug that they sent as a part of the kit, which says info is power. And so I just wanted to say, I feel like that kind of says it all. That's why they were created. The idea is to create an easy and affordable way to test your own fertility hormones at home. It's a simple finger prick. You mail it in with a prepaid label and you get your personalized results within 10 days. And the information that you're going to receive is your hormone levels, your ovarian reserve, aka how many eggs you have. If you watch Summer House, Lindsay Hubhouse is apparently 28, and according to her egg count, and other important fertility factors. And so the results go pretty deep, but what's really cool is if you don't understand anything, which it would take me some personal Googling, you can request to speak one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results.
Yeah, it's amazing. And also from a cost perspective, if you did that through your normal doctor, I mean, it could cost you so much depending on your insurance, over $1,000. But Modern Fertility gives you all that same info for $159. It's a fraction of the price. And if you go to modernfertility.com/FMH, you can get $20 off that test. So, you know, you can get really clinically sound info about your body, and that can help you make the decision that's right for you. So right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/FMH. That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/FMH. modernfertility.com/FMH.
Amazing.
I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly. Like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night, all right? That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com and just use the code FMH at checkout.
All right. Conflict part two.
Let's do it. So we will start this conflict part two out with another conflict themed weird or not.
Okay.
And that is, they give you a gift to say they're sorry.
Okay. I picked this one because I think we might have disagreement on it. I'm like really against this.
Interesting.
I don't know if that makes it weird or not, right? Like, I don't know that
maybe those against, are two different things.
Like, those are not synonyms.
Yeah.
I do think it's like pretty normalized, even though I disagree with it. So, you know, I'm going to say 50-50 here, and then I'll like kind of get into my thoughts.
So it is 30% weird, 70% nah.
Okay. That checks out, I think, with how probably – like, I get it. I want to hear what they say. So the reason I'm opposed to it is because I don't believe an object is a substitute for accountability.
Definitely.
And so I think the idea is like, I think something I really hate about, you know, we talk about things in media tropes that don't promote healthy stories of relationships. I really don't like how on The Housewives, for example, a husband will cheat and they'll be like, oh, whatever. He bought me this incredible diamond necklace.
Yeah. And it's like, or like ring upgrade.
No. Exactly.
Yeah, no.
No. That's a no from me. And I just like that doesn't make up for I'm very obviously like what does make up for it, right? Like you have to figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of asking, like when I have conflict with friends and we can get into this, I'm a big fan of asking, what do you need from me to repair? And like, I'll do it, you know, but do you want to talk? Do you want to meet up? Do you want to just move on? Like what would feel good? And I suppose an answer to that could be,
I want a gift.
I want a gift, like, I guess. But I hope that if the gift is coming, it is in conjunction with accountability and a plan for it not happening again. Because it also doesn't symbolize any form of change in a person. Anyway, yeah. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's weird, but I don't want the gift. My cat just turned on my television.
Oh wow.
I mean, he just stepped on
the remote. Mom, you're very boring. We need a TV.
Hello, we need some entertainment, lady.
You're like, I'm working my ass off here, Rory.
Yeah. It was Rory. Did you see him in the camera?
I saw his tail. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, how did you know he's never here? That's a very odd guess. So I don't like a gift if that's the only thing I'm getting.
Yes.
And the other thing, I think that when I read this question, my gift's love language assigns a different meaning to gift than I think yours does.
I could see that.
Because I don't think they give a gift to say they're sorry. My head doesn't go to like diamond necklace or like that would be extreme. Nobody that I'm dating is going to give me a diamond necklace. But like my head doesn't go to like random trinket that they bought for me that has monetary value. My head goes to like something thoughtful.
Got it. Got it.
Because for me, those are the types of gifts that make me feel good.
Yes.
And so I could see, and I have seen with apologies in the past, where it does make me feel good to get the heartfelt apology and the accountability of like, this is how and why that's not going to happen again. But also, here's this thing that makes you feel seen.
Yeah. Like, I'm so sorry about what happened between us. I picked up your favorite dinner on my way home.
Yes.
Let's eat together and kind of sort it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Like this is
that'd be lovely. Yes.
Yeah. Like this is a token of me showing you like how much I care about you and how well I know you.
Yep.
And I'm also sorry and we're gonna talk.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people that said it was nah said that. Like that said like as long as it's not the only thing, or like it's just nice. Everybody who said weird said something like what you said, which was, you know, a gift is not accountability, feels like they're buying my silence, that those sorts of things.
Yeah. All right. Well, interesting.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I think it has to be both for sure. So in conflict one, we talked about, you know, like the intros to conflict.
And like, sort of like modes of conflict. Like
modes of conflict.
Yeah. Like what is your MO in conflict?
Yes. And so now we want to talk more about like dealing with it. And, you know, if you and your partner or your friend or whomever have different modes of conflict. I also want to note that – so a bunch of listeners wrote into our form and tagged conflict. So thank you very much for that. And a couple people gave recommendations on the book you mentioned, Nonviolent Communication.
Amazing. By the way, the person who recommended that to me is Imposter Alley, who I recorded Patreon.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So just wanted to give another shout out to that because a couple other people separately said that they really loved it.
Amazing.
So I want to check it out.
I also think we should talk a little bit on like resolving too.
Yes.
Like moving. Yeah.
Yes. Definitely.
Would you like me to read you a question?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. This one's – I like the start of this one. I keep accidentally dating guys who are very conflict avoidant. Maybe evaluate that pattern. Like they view any sort of conflict or disagreement as potentially relationship ending. They think everything should be rainbows and sunshine all the time. I'd love it if that were the case, but I'm also a realist who sees some degree of mild conflict or disagreement as a normal thing as long as you're being respectful to the other person. What is it with these guys who believe perfection and constant happy times is the only thing that's acceptable?
Yeah, I think that this is really common. We actually also got a couple of questions way back when we did this about like people wondering, you know, is it bad? Somebody said, is it bad to not have had a conflict in over 7 months of dating? I'm not used to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are kind of wondering on both sides of the spectrum. Like, is it, you know, I think that for a lot of people, they haven't ever seen healthy conflict modeled.
Yeah.
Where maybe they saw a relationship that was very conflict heavy, whether it was their parents or somebody else, and it was really unhealthy. And they're thinking to themselves, wow, like I don't want a relationship where I fight with my partner like that, but they don't know that there is conflict that doesn't need to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've just interpreted it, you know, into their head like, oh, conflict's bad.
Right.
Like, conflict led to divorce or conflict led to an unhappy marriage or whatever, you know, the story in their head is based on what they've seen in the past. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I think that something I heard Esther Perel say on a podcast once is if you are not disagreeing, you're not talking enough, because Like, you might disagree about what to have for dinner. That is a disagreement.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you instantly acquiesce? Do you stand your ground? Like, all of these are every, like, conflict is a huge umbrella. And so I think to what you're saying, probe what, like, conflict means to this person. Does it mean he doesn't want to have blowout screaming fights, or that he's willing to lay down on every single decision in your life because he wants to avoid saying no? Like, that, those are really different things.
Yeah, because – and something that I've brought up to – I've dated a couple people like this in the past where I could tell that they are just acquiescing to whatever I want because they don't want to have a conflict. My brother can be this way. And I have said to them, like, I don't want you to end up resenting me because we're always doing what I want. And great. Where that has led in the past with one particular person is that eventually he was like, well, we're always doing what you want. And I said to him, like, I don't even know what you want. Because you don't say it.
You haven't told me.
Right. So, like, how could I know that we're always doing what I want when you're not bringing anything to the table?
Yeah.
And that's how resentment builds.
And so to give people a peek into the Patreon a little bit, Imposter Alley was talking about how she relates to you in terms of like, kind of flooding. And it's something that she's consciously worked on. And she was asking me to, because I said on our Conflict One podcast that I've had disagreements, but not a lot of fights. And she asked me to distinguish between the two because she said she's very sensitive to people saying to her, like, she's had relationships where at the end of the relationship, the guy will say to her, well, we fought all the time. And she's like, no, we didn't. And so her argument is sort of like, we either need to call everything a fight or everything a disagree, like, either upgrade it or downgrade it. And I said, I believe, to me, a fight is an escalation of a disagreement, that there is, it's either like there's a higher kind of emotional valence and kind of like tone of discourse that is quite different.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think, as I think about fights, I think fights last longer.
Interesting.
Versus, like, I see a disagreement as something that's, like, definitely just one, like, conversation. Discreet. Yes, exactly. Discreet, fully in, like, self-enclosed. Self-contained, rather. Where it's, like, it's definitely only one conversation. Most likely neither of us are thinking about that conversation after it ends. And it's not an ongoing – it's not a recurring issue. Whereas I see a fight as definitely what you said, escalated tones or, you know, heightened emotions.
Yeah.
And then some sort of continuance of either it, like, you know, it bleeds into other things, or we're still dealing with it the next day or a couple days later, and, or, you know, it's something that we talk about all the time.
Yeah. Or, like, I've been harboring it for a little while and, you know, like, that type of thing. Yeah, totally. I think that's a really good addition to the definition. Anyway, little sidetrack there.
On that note of, like, people have different definitions of fighting and disagreements. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked, how do you tell your partner they have an unhealthy / aggressive conflict resolution style?
I would like to know how aggressive.
Well, same. But let's assume that aggressive just means, like, in tone or, like, confrontational. We're not talking, again, caveat, like we did in Conflict One, we are not talking about any sorts of levels of abuse here.
Yeah. I would honestly okay, so I think there are two answers here. Depending on the level and how sort of unable to click into self-awareness this person is, this to me is a couples therapy dialogue potentially, where you might want somebody to watch you fight. And so that's one thought. If they are able to be self-aware and course correct, I would say when you are engaging on maybe a disagreement, not a fight, when it's a lower level, like a lower level disagreement and the stakes don't feel as high, I would ask the person to say, like, we're clearly, like, call out what's happening. We're clearly disagreeing about this. Can we have a conversation where we both, like, let's just talk about it and try to, you know, let's remember we love each other. Let's, like, talk through this. And to your point, maybe introduce the approach of, like, this is an outside, this is a problem that we're going to figure out together. This problem is this third party that we need to defeat. Let's talk about how we're going to do this. And just try to get them to potentially de-escalate themselves in a situation where you're not already there and asking them to come back down.
Yeah, I think it has to happen before that happens. I think once somebody, and I'm saying this from personal experience on myself, once somebody is escalated to a certain point in their anger or their frustration or whatever it is, it's going to be nearly impossible for you to, like, convince them that that has happened.
Yeah.
Which sucks, but it's just the case. I totally agree with what you said about couples therapy. I think when we have talked about couples therapy in the past, like the couples therapy one that we did with Sharice Cook, which was a while back now, but we talked about how oft couples therapy can be so great before you think you quote unquote need it for that reason. And Abby Medcalf said the same thing when we talked to her about how a lot of times by the time a couple goes to therapy, the issues with their conflict resolution are so ingrained that it's really difficult to adjust those pathways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that gets to what you were saying about, like, getting there before it happens.
I can't recall if I've shared this on the main podcast or any vehicle that we've done together. But my friend Val, her therapist told her something that I've stolen, which is picture the brain as like soft plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And like a soft plastic slope. And every experience you have, you're running a marble down that. And so the more you have the same experience, the deeper that groove goes. And therefore, when you just set a marble at the top, the more likely it is to find that groove.
Yeah.
And so it can be really hard to get it to run down a shallow groove. And, like, that's kind of like the hard work of modifying your behavior.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I love that. And that's the case for habits in general.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I forget how long they say it takes to form a habit, but the reason is because it's like you have to form that pathway until that's just what your body does or your mind does. Yeah. And it's similar for, like, anxious thoughts or, like, negative self-talk. Like, the more you do it, the easier it is to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, breaking those pathways is super important.
Yeah.
I also think that having somebody else watch you fight can be really valuable, because I've talked about this before, I think, but in my relationship with the Oyster, we both had very different narratives of how our fights went down and what the other person said and how they said it.
Yep.
And I don't think either of us was lying. I know I wasn't. But yeah. I can't say with 100% certainty that my memory of exactly what he said and how he said it is fully accurate.
Oh, memory is horrific.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, eyewitnesses are trash. We know this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, and especially when you're involved. So, like, I know that when he was saying, well, I never said that, that might be true.
Mm-hmm.
Or might not be. But, like, I think that was one of the biggest issues that we dealt with, is that we just had completely different memories of how things went down.
Yeah.
And I was never able to discern. Obviously, I trust myself more than I trust him. And now,
sure, 100%
with hindsight, but, like, I don't know that he was lying. I actually do think that that's what he thought happened.
Yeah,
because I don't think he was purposely manipulative, as we've discussed.
Agreed. Yeah, I've definitely had experiences where I'm like, do we need a fucking tape recorder in this relationship?
Yes. Honestly, I mean,
do
the
we
first
need to wiretap our relationship.
the first time that I ever got someone said I love you to me, I have it on tape because I was recording him being mean to me.
Holy shit, Allie. That's so fucked up.
I've never told the story before. This was the coach. And we were very young. We were like 24, 25. And he used to get really drunk and be mean to me.
Oh,
like,
boy.
He would like make fun of me to his friends and like tell me that I was being lame for telling him that he was like too drunk. Yeah. Bad. He's a very nice person. I really, really like him as a person. This was
just some early 20s behavior.
Yes, it was some early 20s behavior. And so he never would believe me because he didn't remember. So like the next day when I would say like, these are the things that you said and it was really hurtful, he would be very sincerely apologetic, but not remember.
Yeah, that's critical. You have to know what the problem is to correct it.
Right. And so he would always say like, I believe you. I believe you that I said those things and I'm so sorry. And I you know, I love you. Or no, he didn't say that because we hadn't gotten there yet. But like, but I'm so sorry. Like, I don't remember. Yeah. So one time it happened and we were on a trip. So we were like by ourselves in a hotel room. And I was like, okay, I'm going to record this for him. So he was like particularly bad so that he remembers or not remembers, but so that I can show it to him and he will like understand. So I was filming him and he was like trying to get me to come over to the bed. And he was like, just come over. I have something to tell you. And I was like, whatever it is, you can tell me from over here. Cause like, I don't want to be over there right now. You're being mean. And that's when he said, I love you.
Amazing.
And then he didn't remember. I didn't show him the film. I don't think he knows. He might be finding out right now. I don't think so. He doesn't listen. But like, he never knew that I had that video. But I have him saying, I love you for the first time on film.
That is completely unhinged.
And then I said, that's very sweet, but it is not a good time.
Yeah. Hold that thought.
Yeah. And then he held it for a couple more weeks and then said it again.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're having the same fight over and over again?
Oh, I mean, we talked about this when we talked about like your fights with the student and my fights with the oyster. Like somebody else asked, like, does that mean you're not right for each other if you keep having that same conflict over and over? Yeah. I mean, it depends on what it is, right? Like you can't. So I guess the first thing I'll say is you can't keep having the same conflict over and over again and expect to be happy.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you're not right for each other or that like you need to break up. But something has to give. And the thing might be your relationship or it might be one of your positions on that conflict item.
Yeah. I just Googled this stat because I wanted to not make it up. And it's hilariously 69%.
Gee.
So 69% of relationship problems are quote unquote unsolvable.
Yeah.
Which means like it has to do with kind of like who you are. It means that – so like – a good example of that, right, is logistics stuff that I've described with various exes where PowerPoint used to like to cut it so close to the airport that like I don't mind threading the needle. Like I like walking on. He was on another level where I was like, you're going to miss a flight.
Yeah.
And he has. He's a flight misser. He's a flight misser. And so like we eternally disagreed about like when to leave for the airport.
Yeah.
And the only thing we could do, like that is unsolvable in the sense that we're not becoming different people.
Right.
Our quote unquote solve is, okay, we don't commute together and PowerPoint lives with the consequences if he misses the flight.
Great.
That, if that had been the one logistics thing he had trouble with, maybe if that had been the one problem, the fight we kept having, maybe that relationship survives. However, that was indicative of a lot of other qualities of his. Mm. And so that same argument manifested on a variety of different topics, also other issues. Anyway, so I think like your stance can't be we return to the same issue a lot. It has to be about how is that kind of spidering out into the rest of your life and how fundamental is it to the relationship?
Yeah. I think indicative of a larger problem thing really hits for me because I think that is often the case in conflict that you come back to, that it's not just about that isolated issue, but rather about something that you don't fundamentally agree on.
Yeah.
And that came up for me and the oyster. Somebody else asked about differing political views. That came up with me and the oyster, where many, many of our conflicts that we would have over and over again would end up coming back to the fact that we didn't agree on politics and like social values, really. And so that turned out to be too big of an – I mean, there were other issues. But that in and of itself even alone would have been too big of an issue for us to overcome, because it was about our values and how we each wanted to like live our lives and potentially raise our children. And that was too much.
Yeah. That's understandable. That's like a very fair line to have.
Yeah. So I think that's to answer that person's question about how to handle those differences. First of all, we talked a lot about this on the aligned one, which was about misaligned values. It was probably a year ago at this point. That's a really good one though. You can go back and listen to that.
Okay. This, what was I going to say? You reminded me of something. Oh, it was especially in like the oyster, in your relationship with the oyster where you were arguing a lot. Something that a disagreement I've actually had with my parents is about how much do you share with friends about conflict in your relationship?
This is such a tricky one because there's such a fine line between like wanting your friends' support and input. There's such a fine line between that and like souring them on this person and the relationship and having it be like a bitch fest where it ends up being unhealthy. I don't know. I definitely did not share nearly as much of the conflict that the oyster and I had with my friends as we actually had. And if I had, I know what their reactions would have been, which is why I didn't tell them.
Yeah. No, that's a part of it, right? Where like there was so much I hid about my relationship with PowerPoint where my friends were like, excuse me, what? When we broke up.
Yeah.
And luckily they were very much like, well, knowing that now, like great decision. I have a friend right now going through a breakup where she revealed to her, I'm like kind of outside of her and her boyfriend's core friend group. And she's kind of been like soft launching their breakup to the friend group because the friend group is kind of reacting poorly to it. And is like, well, are you sure? Like, why don't you want to make it work? And I'm like,
oh, dear.
How about you let her make a decision?
Right. But, how about you not enter into her relationship?
Yeah. And one of the reasons that they're breaking up is like, she's like, he definitely has like a rage problem. Like once she described to me a fight that they had where, and this is all stuff she hid from her friends. And so they are reacting like not believing her, where they're like, oh really? Like you didn't tell us when that happened.
Shitty response.
I know.
I have a friend who she broke up with this person a while ago now, but I have a friend who has an ex-boyfriend who many of us know. Like I'm not friends with him, but I know him. And her experience in that relationship with him was very different than anybody else's that isn't super close to him. And so the reasons and the things that she has told us now as her close friend about that relationship are like wild to me tangentially knowing him.
Yeah.
I believe her, definitely. But like that's an example of like everybody was like, but he's so amazing. Like why would you want to not – and he has gone on like a little bit of a smear – or had gone on a little bit of a smear campaign about it at the time of their breakup. And it just sucks because she's like, yeah, he's like this to me. And like I see this, but nobody else does. They think that he's like amazing. Yeah. So that's – yeah, bringing friends into that is really hard. And actually on the Patreon episode that I did with my friends, with Cindy and Audrey, we talked about the oyster. I asked them like, which of my exes do you like the most and the least? And when we were talking about the oyster, who obviously made the least category, Cindy was remembering a fight that I did tell her about, which was when the oyster was like mad at me for wanting to explore my Black heritage.
Mad at you for that?
Yeah. Like the quote was, you never talked about being Black before.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Yeah. And then he was like angry that I wanted to like spend time doing that. And I told Cindy about it.
It's a wild thing to take personally such that you get angry about it.
Yes. In hindsight, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But like, I was sort of blinded to that. And I told Cindy about it and she did not like it. And I was mad. Like she and I got in a fight about it.
Damn.
Fight's probably not the right word. And I don't know, mad might not even have been the right word. We definitely got in like a little, she used the word tiff on the Patreon.
Yeah. Love a tiff.
Yeah. I don't think it was a fight in the way that we have defined a fight on this episode where it didn't last very long and it wasn't escalated. But I was like frustrated with her that she was like saying something bad about my boyfriend, even though like the thing I had told her was objectively bad.
Yeah. I mean, so it is a fine line too, because something else, so a point that I made to my parents, and I feel like we should almost should we do a conflict three on conflict resolution?
Yes.
Because I don't want to give it 2 minutes.
No. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
So, because my mom has a very strict, like, no bad press policy about your partner.
Mm.
And she shared with me that it was sort of a thing among kind of like the moms that she was, I don't want to say friends with, but the group she was kind of forced into by the fact that like she had a daughter that was school aged and you kind of hang out with the moms that are there type thing. And that group would have these like shit on fests where they would just like talk absolute crap about their husbands.
Ooh.
That is distinctly different than what the point that I was trying to make, because something that I really appreciate about my relationship with Anna is that she will share with me and is really open to feedback on. So she'll say to me, I'm having this disagreement with my husband. Am I being crazy? Like, I'm open to that. Like, here's down. Like, what do you think? And I'll say, like, here's what I think he was probably trying to convey. Here's what I think you're probably trying to say, you know, can you talk about that or whatever? And she's like super amenable to that. And I think that makes our I like that she can, because I know they're not going to get divorced. Like, they're going to work through whatever they're talking about. And so to me, that is a vulnerable and emotionally close thing to share as a friend. Whereas I have another friend who everything is always happiness, sunshine, she's in the perfect relationship. And I feel this wall between us where we're not having a real conversation.
Mm. Yeah, there's definitely that line of like, I don't think I'm in the no bad press camp, but I think it depends on what we're considering bad press, because I wouldn't consider what you're saying about Anna to be quote unquote bad press.
Exactly. No. I think that that's a fair distinction.
But I could see somebody thinking it is because it's a disagreement.
And I mean, in a way it sometimes is, in the sense that she's like, so like her husband's amazing. Like, he is, to me, in many ways, he kind of like sets a bar where like I really, like, I think a lot about the qualities that she like sees in him as somebody like, that I want. And his fatal flaw is logistics, where he will think something can be accomplished in 10 minutes that is like a full hour and a half detour. And so like a lot of their and this is what I'm saying about unfixable or unsolvable problems, a lot of their disagreements come back to that fact.
Yeah.
Where she's like, why can't you see that you cannot do a full like 18 holes of golf and make a birthday party in West Hollywood at 2 p.m.? Like, why can't you comprehend that? And so like, I guess that's bad press about his ability to like judge time, but like, it's so harmless, you know, like that doesn't speak ill. I think like the women that my mom was talking about was saying how like my husband like never pleases me. Like, it was like really bad.
Like, it's just a shit fest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's not good. By the way, the journalist just texted me about Tuesday.
Amazing.
Yeah. There the problem is that he's,
oh, he texted you for Tuesday.
He texted me with a whole plan for Tuesday. That sounds very fun, but I'm not free.
Oh, no.
So I'm just going to reply and say, I think you mentioned Friday. Are you still free?
We can't move plan to Friday.
We can't, because it's about a WNBA basketball game that he wanted to go to.
Oh, fuck yeah. What a fun date.
I know. But I'm already going out with Comeback Kid.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. But so we can't move the date.
The date.
Yeah. Compliments to the date. I'm just assuming that there's not, we can't just tell them to play on Friday.
Give them a call.
It's only the WNBA. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Very much kidding, just to be super clear, everyone.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I think that there is a fine line there, but like, that's where, again, I think if you are finding that you really need an outside resource for conflict, couples therapy / your own therapist as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where, yeah, like, I did tell Megan, my therapist, all about every conflict with the oyster. And she is one of the key reasons, people that helped me see that I needed to end that relationship.
Yeah.
Because she was able to say to me, listen, even if you are not remembering accurately what he said, even if you are more at fault than you're remembering, this is still terrible. Like, yeah, this is still impacting
you. This is objectively bad.
Yeah, this is objectively bad. And you are this guy is clearly bringing out a really horrible side of you.
Yeah.
Because you are feeding into these conflicts as well. It's not like I was just sitting there mute. Like, totally. I was escalating to fight with him, even if, yeah, I think what he was doing is objectively worse. He was still bringing that out of me, and that's bad.
100%.
So, but yes, I do think we need to do part three on conflict resolution.
Clearly. Yeah. But because, yeah, ending on a pro-therapy note is always a good way to end.
We love therapy. I wish it were more accessible for the masses.
Yeah.
But yes, so conflict three, conflict resolution. If you have more conflict resolution questions, submit them to our suggestion form. You can find it at findingmrwright.com/podcast. It's right there. Please put conflict in the question. If you want to get extra points, conflict resolution in the question, yeah, and then we can easily search for it.
Yeah. And also, I feel like we haven't said this in a while. It's probably dumb to just put it at the end, but like, please share the pod.
Yeah, we should say it at the beginning.
Yeah.
It makes more sense. If you're this deep into the pod, you've probably told everyone you know.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, we'll say it up top at the end next time.
But yes.
Maybe I'll just use this as the bumper.
Please share the pod. Rate, review, subscribe, send it to your friends. It really helps us. And, you know,
also, like, the weather's nice. It's perfect. It's a perfect walking podcast. Like, let's go.
Yes. Also, you know, with us dabbling into the advertising space now, downloads and streams and whatnot are like monitored now.
Yeah.
And so everything helps. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, have a great day.
Enjoy your meeting.
Bye.